Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today, venturing out on her first solo episode from the last time she was on, it's Robin Jeffrey, everyone!
Hi!
Woo-hoo. Co-host of the Aficionados podcast, or yeah, because it's a blanket podcast term, right?
Yeah, so like I'm I guess the main one, and I guess that's fair to say, because I started it with my best friend Brittany, and she was also, so it was just me and her on like all the podcasts, and then since then she got busy, and so she's only on one podcast, and then I have a co-host on one of the other podcasts, and I have a different co-host on the other podcast, and I have a different co-host on the other, but I'm on all of them.
You're on all of them. So it's,
and
so it's,
I am
your
the one
baby.
Who edits them. Yeah, exactly. It's my baby.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but my spiel at the beginning is usually thus. Wait, now I have to say the Aficionados part beforehand. Hello and welcome to brought to you by the Aficionados podcast. My name is Robin Jeffrey. I'm a 29-year-old actor and artist. I like brooding anti-heroes, feminist agendas, and I remember way too many details that no one else cares about. You can follow me personally at Robin E. Jeffrey pretty much everywhere.
Great, and I'll have you repeat that at the end.
Great.
But we're here today to talk about the epic 2013 movie Frozen. Also,
Frozen.
I should mention, we're starting holiday time now. So in first century, Frozen. So Frozen was written by Jennifer Lee, music and lyrics by Robert Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez, which I believe this is the first time they worked with Disney.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think this was their big introduction, because I know Robert Lopez wrote for Book of Mormon prior to this, which I think is hilarious that they got the guy who wrote the for Book of Mormon.
They're like, we'll trust that guy to write a Disney movie.
Yeah, of course. It was directed by Chris Buck and Jennifer Lee, and according to IMDb, fearless optimist Anna teams up with
Anna. Sorry, that's Anna.
I'm sorry. We'll take two. We'll take two.
Yep,
and
take
we're
two,
gonna edit all this out. Thank you for the line read.
Cut. Yes.
Fearless optimist Anna teams up with rugged mountain man Kristoff and his loyal reindeer Sven in an epic journey to find Anna's sister Elsa, whose icy powers have trapped the kingdom of Arendelle in eternal winter. I mean, yes.
Yeah, that's basically what happened.
Yeah, but like also shared family trauma, a little gaslighting.
Yeah. A little bit.
The fact that this is like the new wave of Disney. Like,
yeah. I hope nobody is going into this blind not having seen the film, because I do fear that I shall spoil the big twist at the end.
Listen,
but I remember that twist absolutely rocking my world in 2013.
Listen, it's 11 years old. If people haven't seen this, if you haven't seen
that's
this
on
movie
you
by now, that's on you.
Yeah.
And or the stage show, which we will get to that in a hot second. But so I know I've been pestering you for like the past year to get you on an episode by yourself and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, You said yes to Frozen, which is like, do you like what is your story with Frozen? Like your relationship, I should say, with her.
Yeah, I would say that the struggle with I want to come on your podcast. Number one, I'm a very busy person. I'm just very hot commodity.
You're just booked and blessed.
Yes. But number two, I feel like all of the things that are like musicals that I'm like very, very passionate about, you've already covered. I feel like
twice,
that's
too,
my main
sometimes
issue.
With them.
Right, exactly. Like I rewatch all three High School Musicals once a year. Like I like every year it is like a tradition. So it's like I could talk about High School Musical forever, but you've already talked about High School Musical. You know,
right.
Like things like very Disney Channel original, like whatever. You've talked about that already. So it was hard for me to be like, I don't have time to watch something for the show, like for your podcast, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. But then when you were like, can you do Frozen? I was like, I've already seen that. And it's just one movie, so I can just rewatch that real quick, and then I'm ready to go.
Right. Yeah, I
So like,
mean, yeah, and again, if you haven't seen Frozen in the past 11 years, where have you been?
Right. And so I think like my relationship with Frozen is that like I was in, so I graduated high school in 2013. So I was just starting college when this movie came out. I was in my first year of college, and I remember like going to see the movie with probably my family the first time, and then liking it so much that I also took a bunch of my friends from college to go see it as well. And that's, yeah, it's just like sort of, you know, a holiday. I wouldn't say it's the tradition like High School Musical is or anything,
Right. But like
which I rewatch on New Year's.
if you're wanting something of
It's
the
something to put
family
on in the
style.
background that like I know that I like and that I can sing along to. Like I do actively really enjoy the music.
Yeah.
Iconic. So happy to be here.
Okay, so let's start with the music since you
Sure.
just finished talking about that.
Segue, you're welcome. I'm a
Segues.
professional.
We love it. This movie, like obviously Let It Go is the standout. Everyone loved
That's the
that.
girl.
Everyone was singing it. But like all of the songs
Yeah.
are a very different. I mean, they play with tone and with style and obviously with key and range and everything, depending on who's singing it. But like, my God, for their first foray into Disney, like, yes, Lopez's, thank you so much for
Truly.
your time and effort, and please do more. Like, even when we start with Frozen Heart. Now, it's been a minute since I've seen this movie. So,
Sure.
rewatching it for this, I was just like, oh, I understand the queer coding. Oh, I see the difference in old Disney versus new Disney. But even the songs,
Yeah.
since we're talking about that, they are so different than anything we've heard in the
Which I
past.
think is what made it so revolutionary at the time is that everyone, like, I don't know, everyone went crazy for Frozen. And, like, you know, even Anna and Elsa ended up being like their own spin-off version of the Disney princess thing. Like, they didn't even join the Disney princess lineup, they were their own thing. Like, that's how popular it was. So, yeah, it was really crazy at the time for sure.
Yeah, and like, we have Idina Menzel and Kristen Bell, two little unknowns,
Yeah, exactly. Never heard of them.
voicing them. Well, honestly, I remember people being very surprised about Kristen Bell because no one saw the Reefer Madness movie that she was in, where it is a musical and she sings her effing heart out all the time.
I mean, she definitely does have Disney princess voice for sure.
Yeah, and she affected it slightly because you've seen The Good Place or Veronica Mars, where her voice is very different. It's still kind of high, but like this one, so Anna is the old Disney that they're thrusting into new Disney, and that's the realization I had with this movie,
Interesting.
where she has the stereotype of falling in love with somebody immediately.
Yeah, good point.
Blindly trusting things. I feel like this is her movie more so than
I
Elsa's.
would agree. I bet she has a higher like runtime or higher screen time than Elsa does.
Even though Elsa gets Let It Go and that's like the song of the movie, Anna has more songs than Elsa. Because she has Do You Want to Build a Snowman for the first time in forever, and she duets with Hans in Love Is an Open Door. And then
And
she
then
has the
the reprise.
reprise of For the First Time in Forever. But like she's the one who goes on the journey. She's the one who I feel bad throughout this whole movie because okay, let's start from the beginning. Her parents, her dad, the mom is complicit in this, but the dad is basically gaslighting her. Because Elsa kills her, right? Is that what happens?
Kind of like she, yeah, kind of. And then he's just like, it's okay, we'll protect her. And so it's like, listen, I'm sad they're dead, but I'm also like, hey, were we doing a little bit of abuse on both of them? You know, a little bit.
Conceal, don't feel. Conceal, don't feel. That is Elsa's mantra that her dad taught her.
Yeah.
So yes, but also it's like, okay, conceal, don't feel. That's a little like homophobic in a
Yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Like, I see why Elsa is like an LGBT figure.
Yeah.
But in this movie, we will be talking about Frozen 2. Spoiler alert. We'll get into that in the
Yeah.
future. But in this movie, like, I understand that the powers are growing and everything, and that, but like, I feel like that might be also a metaphor for like,
Yeah.
gay.
Yeah, exactly. Her queerness is her power, and she's been, tamping it down for who knows how long or whatever. Yeah, I hear that.
Which rewatching it, I was rewatching it today, and I was like, at the coronation, you're the queen. So why are you taking the gloves off? I get it, that's for the story and everything, but like realistically, you'd be like, no, queens
I
wear
don't want
gloves.
to. Yeah, exactly. You
New
make the
rules.
rules, babe. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this movie is doing a lot. And I appreciate what they're doing. Because I don't know about you, but I grew up with the Disney Renaissance movies. And like those were a good chapter for that. But now we're in a new chapter where the female leads are, you know, they don't need love. Or if it's love, it's family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because in this one, they talk about your what is it, what do they say, the true love and everything, and it's like, well, true love comes in many ways, and that's what this movie's telling us.
Yeah. And sorry, can I go back a little bit when we were talking about how Kristen Bell, everyone was like sort of surprised about Kristen Bell
Yeah.
being cast and everything. And I think that's because she was put next to such huge Broadway powerhouses such as Idina Menzel, such as Jonathan Groff, such as Josh Gad. I don't know that much about the guy who plays Hans, sorry. But like Hans isn't even like one of the main guys. Like it's really those four. It's
Right.
Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, and Olaf, really. And so it's like they put her next to all of these huge people who like are very well known on Broadway. So yeah, I sort of get that. And I think like something that they fixed for Frozen 2 was that like Jonathan Groff got that like little tiny dinky song, and you're like, excuse me, that's Jonathan Groff.
Yeah, give him a
Hello?
full-blown song.
Yeah,
Well,
please.
so Santino Fontana is the voice of Hans.
Yeah.
You may know him from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend,
Okay.
where he's in the first two seasons. He was also in Mrs. Doubtfire on Broadway
Oh,
as
okay. So
Mrs.
he is a
Doubtfire.
Broadway guy too.
He is a musical theater person. Well, and
Right.
obviously Mrs. Doubtfire happened way after this, but I think Crazy Ex-Girlfriend was around this time or like
Gotcha.
right after this.
So he was known for singing, though.
Yes. Yeah, because he because in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend it's another musical show, so
Yes. Yeah.
he can sing. But
Yes.
I mean, he gets Love is an Open Door.
Yeah, and that's about it for him.
But it does show off his voice too
That's
in a
true. Absolutely.
I as like a to use for your reel or something, you know, just be like, listen to me belt
Yeah,
with Kristen
yeah.
Bell in a Disney movie.
Here you go. Yeah.
So okay. I know this is not really like a holiday movie, but like, you know, I wanted.
No, it is.
Oh, it is? You call
Well,
you.
we got a freaking reindeer in here.
We do have a freaking reindeer in here, and we
Like,
get a snowman.
yeah.
But like, I equate this more with just winter time because of all the
Sure.
ice powers and everything.
Yeah.
And you know, the curse that she accidentally puts on
Yeah.
Antel.
Because I guess it does take place during the summer.
It does.
Doesn't it?
They
Yeah.
say that a couple of times.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little upset with myself. I didn't have time to read the Snow Queen synopsis, but this is based off of Hans Christian Andersen's The Snow Queen, and
Probably why they named him Hans.
yes, loosely based off of this, because in the Snow Queen, I believe she's a villain. And
I
I
believe
remember
that.
seeing like the original artwork for this, or like early concept artwork for Frozen, where, you know, they were going for more that she's a villain. They were making her the villain. And like
I like what we ended up with,
one can
personally.
say she might be villainous, but like it's all accidental.
Yeah.
Like the okay, we've sat on it for a little bit. We're now gonna pull the Band-Aid off and spoil everything. Hans is the villain.
The whole time.
And the Duke question mark?
Yeah,
The
that guy
Duke
just
of
sucks.
Wesselton? Like I think he's just greedy, but
Yeah.
Hans is the villain who had a plan. Like, honestly, when he. So, okay. Back up. A rule in this movie is that if Elsa hits somebody in the heart with her ice powers, they will die. The
Yeah.
end. But
They'll
only like.
freeze, basically.
But then they find out that true love can unfreeze them.
Sure. Yeah.
So they're assuming
Fairy tale
that,
rules.
yeah, fairy tale rules. So Anna is allegedly in love with this guy, Hans, who's also a prince and everything. And so when, he's about to kiss her and he's like mere inches away from her mouth and whispers something along the lines of like, this would be good for if somebody who actually loves you or something like that. I was like, whoa, Disney.
If only there was somebody who loved you.
Loved you.
Like, not even
Yes.
like, if only there was somebody around or somebody close to here who loved you. No, just somebody in general. I'm like,
Like,
whoa.
that was your twist that you mentioned, when that first happened. You're like, whoa. But even rewatching it, I forgot a lot about this movie, like a lot of the details. I remember Let It Go, because that's been in my head. I remember the songs, obviously,
Yeah.
but like that moment, I was just like, damn, Disney, you are like really like being very meta and making fun of yourself, but B, you're like, this is the new world we live in, unfortunately. Suck it up, kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like we'd never seen Disney do something like that before. So like you're sitting in the theater for the first time and you're just like, oh, okay, well, what you're expecting is that the twist is that her true love isn't Hans, it's
It's
Kristoff.
Kristoff,
So
yeah.
when they kiss, it's not gonna work. Kind of like in Enchanted. Have you covered Enchanted?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, I love that one. but like kind of like Enchanted where what's Edward? Yes, that's his name. Edward kisses her, and then it's not right because Robert is the guy that she. Sorry. Also, spoilers for Enchanted, I guess.
Well,
But like, it's kind of
yeah.
like that's what you expect because Disney's done that before, right? Oh, they kiss, but it didn't work because they're not true love,
It's not the right person, right?
right? But then completely different twist, which is that he's like, oh, actually, screw you. So.
Actually, and this is my evil plan that I had the whole
I
time.
was
And you're
gonna
like,
marry you and then kill your sister, but since you're basically dying anyway, and I'm basically the guy who's taking care of everything, I'm just gonna let you die and kill your sister, and then it's just me.
I'm gonna say something bold and
Okay.
I'm gonna have you hold my hand through Zoom. I think he's scarier and worse than Gaston.
I hear you. I think that's something that's like really scary about Gaston in a way that isn't scary about many of the other villains is that Gaston is like a guy that you could see in your real life. Like I'm not gonna see Hades with his fire hair in real life. He doesn't scare me. Ursula is in the ocean, like
Yes.
that doesn't scare me. But Gaston scares me because that's a man that I could come across. And so I completely understand what you're saying, that Hans is like a guy that you could full on come across and you never know what's in somebody's brain. So it's like yeah, I get it. That's scary to think that like you are with somebody or to think that you're on the same page as somebody and it turns out they were manipulating you the whole time. Totally. Absolute nightmare fuel.
Because Gaston is like
Yeah, at least he's upfront
he's up
about
front
how
about who he is and
terrible he
everything.
is.
Hans schemes.
Yeah.
Hans plays behind the scenes and everything,
Manipulates.
manipulates. So when he monologues his evil plan, you're like, damn, you spent time thinking
Thinking
about
about that.
this. And then obviously we get the Duke, who is another antagonist who
Who
doesn't
cares about that
trust
guy?
and wants to take over Arendelle, but like, who fucking cares about him? He's
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Alan Tudyk,
We need
getting
Alan
in here.
Tudyk to be somewhere, and thank you.
Yes, and unfortunately, he's not Sven, the reindeer.
Yeah. That'd be good.
I went to Juilliard.
Yeah.
So, but like this one, like I feel like, okay, so my Disney like knowledge and like placement of things is not right, and I don't have the Wikipedia up, but I feel like this was the first entry in like the new wave. Because we had
Okay.
the Renaissance that lasted from like 89 with The Little Mermaid until 2000 with Tarzan, something like
Yeah.
that. And then there was the early 2000s, which I don't know the name of that, but nobody really cares about it. And then this one comes out. I think this was the first like entry in the next phase, you know, to use a Marvel
Yeah.
term.
I'm trying to
You're double
find a
checking.
list, but
Are you
yes, go
fact
on.
checking me? Please fact check me live.
Okay, great. I will. Hold on. There's a lot of movies, and I have to scroll down really far.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. Enchanted, My Best Friend. Okay. Oh, I wait. Okay, so before Frozen, we did have like Princess and the Frog, which I think maybe stays still back farther. But we do also have Tangled before Frozen
Oh,
and
true.
Brave. And that's like 3 years before Frozen. Was
True.
Tangled.
I forgot. I'm sorry, I forgot about Tangled. But yeah, so, but I feel like Frozen is the one that I've definitely solidified. This is the new era.
Yeah.
Like Tangled is great. Princess and the Frog is also, it's weird because it was what, 2009 or something like that? But
2009, that's right. Yeah,
it
exactly.
gives Renaissance vibes.
I agree. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
You know, and then Tangled is the first entry, and then we got this one, and like Tangled was a great start, but then this one like demolished it. Frozen, totally.
Yeah. And then 3 years later, we got Moana, which was definitely in the,
Which, oh
for
boy.
sure.
Yeah, and then we get, you know, Frozen 2 and Encanto and all the other.
Frozen 2. There's a bunch of like Pixar stuff in here that I don't really necessarily. Yeah, Encanto, incredible. The Bob's Burgers movie, does that count? All right.
I guess Disney owns them. But
Yeah.
yeah, so we get, but
Okay, anyway.
yeah. And this movie, obviously we had Brave earlier and we talked with Tangled, but like this one is just showing you that, like, you need family. Like, Kristoff is a found family member and
Yeah.
Olaf as well, but like the way that they portray their relationship is so real and so heartbreaking because, you know, at the beginning at the coronation, Elsa has, you know, knows what happens in the past, but Anna just thinks, has the false memories from the trolls.
Yeah. And really helpful for those of us that have younger sisters so that you guys can we can do like the duets together. That was always really helpful for me. For the first time in forever was like top billing in our house. Which was really helpful.
So, okay, I
It's
haven't
nice to
also
not have to sing the boy part, is what I'm saying. It's nice for there to be
it's
two girl
nice,
parts.
it's very nice,
Yeah.
so you could do the reprise instead.
Exactly.
Well, also to go along with that, I feel like this doesn't happen a lot in Disney movies where you have two opposing melody lines happening. So like in Do You Want to Build a Snowman, you know, you have the two of them, or The First Time in Forever, or yeah, the first time and the reprise of it. Like you they're layering and they're showing you how separate these women are, and you know, I love it personally. Musically,
Yeah.
how, like, do you think, to your knowledge, is there anything prior to this movie that has done something like this in Disney? I don't,
I
unless it's like a
think,
reprise or the reprising songs or something.
yeah. I want to say, not off the top of my head, but I also think that it's like a very Broadway thing to do, which I think is why it translates so well. as well, is having like a bunch of different, you know, when you look at the sheet music and everyone has their own line,
Yes.
that's a very Broadway thing to
Which is
me.
what the Lopez, well, at least Robert Lopez, Kristen Anderson Lopez, I believe, I think she also wrote some other theater stuff. Let me hold on. Yeah, she wrote for her Disney World Finding Nemo the musical,
There you go.
like in 2006, and then yeah, she's done a couple of other theatrical works, it looks like. But whilst we're here, let's get into the stage version. Have you seen it?
Sure. Okay, I have not seen it. However, in March, I'm turning 30 and I'm going on a Disney cruise. I've never been on
Okay.
a cruise before, but I thought I had always wanted to go to Disney World for my 30th birthday because we had been to Disney World for my sister's birthday one year and she got to wear the little It's My Birthday pin and I never got
Oh.
to. And I was like, oh, I want to wear the It's My Birthday pin. But it's like so much more expensive there than it even was last time I was there. Like it is crazy. And so I was like, is it a more mature decision to check out what the cruises have got going on? Because I've never been on one and it turned out to be way less expensive. And there was one leaving like from, anyway, it was very like, it sort of all worked out perfectly because I was like, well, I'd probably choose this one. And then it turned out that that one was leaving on my 30th birthday. So it's
Wow.
like, it was very fate. Anyway, they have two shows on board, and one of them is Frozen the Musical.
So
So
you're
I
gonna go see
will
it.
be seeing it in March, on the cruise ship.
So the stage version premiered in Denver, Colorado as the Out of Town Tryout in 2017. So what is that? 4 years after the movie.
Yeah, I guess it would have been, yeah.
We're a little bit over the movie at this point, you know, it's a little bit of a gamble. I
Yeah,
know it
Disney
was
is
in
like,
the
bring it back. We need to make more money.
we need to we're not letting it
Renewal.
go. We're not
Yeah,
letting it
exactly.
go. I
That's the
know
whole thing. That's the whole thing in the musical.
I
The whole
know
thing of the song.
they had it in the parks. They had a version of it, but not this one where I loved seeing Elsa come out for Let It Go, looking like a football player because the dress is up at her
Oh yeah.
shoulders. And then obviously the stage show, they do more theater magic with it, which I still don't know how they did it to this day. But it opened on Broadway in 2018. Unfortunately, it closed in 2020 as a product of the pandemic. It won a Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Puppet Design. I saw
Oh,
that. Yeah, because
for Sven, right?
Olaf too. Olaf, they
Oh.
do a similar thing that they do to Timon in The Lion King stage version, where the actor is dressed in a costume similar of the puppet, but then like you
But then
know
they
the
have a puppet.
they have a puppet, yes.
Gotcha. I think I've seen something like that. Yeah. And then like I remember I followed like a girl on TikTok for a while who was playing Sven in the West End. And it's like a crazy puppet. It's crazy and she's up in there like on all fours and everything. It's crazy.
On Broadway, Casey Levy played Elsa and Patty Murin played Anna, where, you know, those women went on and had great careers after this. Like, I feel like this is like a show that, like, you know, you're gonna be great. You know, you have it on your resume, and everyone's like, oh,
Oh
you
yeah.
were. Like I know it's fascinating. I know a lot of like Elphabas and Glyndas also
I was about
did.
to say the same thing. I was about to say the same thing about
Yeah, 'cause
Elphaba and Glinda.
I see here that Mackenzie Kurtz, who was a Glinda, and I had on at one point Alyssa Fox, who has played Elsa all over the world. So
Yeah. It makes
and
sense, the Idina Menzel like pipeline from Elphaba to Elsa, though. It makes sense.
Yeah, and unfortunately the North American tour like recently closed. But you never know. You never say never. Disney likes money, so it
They
might
like
come back.
money. They know that Frozen is popular. People will buy tickets to see Frozen.
Yeah, and it looks like they I mean obviously they added a ton of songs to this.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I
I don't
haven't.
know a whole lot of them, so I'm excited to see the show in March.
Oh, do you know if it's going to be the full show or is it going to
I
be like
don't
a.
know that.
Okay, great.
No, I bet it says somewhere, and I'm sure I read it at some point, but I don't actually know.
My favorite videos of see is seeing the drag queens doing Let It Go, because it is
With a
like
reveal.
with the reveal, there's some that have a helper with like can fog or spray cans where it shows the magic, the snow and everything. Like, oh, love those videos of this. And I know I've seen clips of the Broadway one where they used a lot of projection.
Ooh.
So get ready for that. A
Okay.
lot of projections, a lot of video behind, and a lot of it's like a lot of choreography where it's like you have to put your hand out at this moment, otherwise it's gonna look
Right.
weird.
But you've done it so many times that it's like, that's just how it is, you know? Like, it's like you just know it in your soul, I think, because, like, I don't know, I watch clips of the Eras Tour, and the way that, like, during Delicate, Taylor can, like, jump on the exact right spot for the stage to crack or whatever. And, like, she does
Right.
that, like, 8 times in a row. And I'm like, how do you remember exactly where to do that every time? Like, it's just in your bones at some point, you know?
But we've also seen the videos of Frozen in the Parks where the costume change and the light cue doesn't
Doesn't
match
match up.
up, which is
Might be like,
always
hey,
funny.
you tried. That's what's important.
You're doing it. You
You're
mean
doing it, and that's
you're.
really cool.
Yeah, and it's the unfortunate side effect of live performance where it's a live performance. So things go wrong, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It
Oh, I know
happens.
it.
But let's get back to the movie. So let me see, what else did I write down? Oh yeah, 'cause, so I kind of made a joke about it that Elsa killed Anna in the beginning, but is that exactly? I don't know what happened. Like, do you have a better understanding?
So I think basically at the beginning, she gets hit by her powers in the head. And then later she gets hit in the heart. And so at the beginning, the troll grandpa is
Yeah.
like, oh, good thing she got hit in the head and not the heart, because that would be really bad. And so we're able to sort of do something about the head thing. We'll erase her memories and like change her memories so that she doesn't think it's magic. She thinks you guys were just playing normal things. And then just like never tell her that you're magic. And then she gets hit in the heart later, and then they bring her to Troll Grandpa again, and he's like, sorry, she got hit in the heart. I don't know, true love, I guess.
Right, but like when she got hit in the head, is it that Elsa knocked her out, or is it that Elsa did kill her, but through troll magic they could bring her back?
I was not under the impression that she was dead. I was under the impression that she was unconscious, but like a child.
Okay.
So
No, I,
like,
it's
yeah,
just
she just got knocked out, I think.
it's
Cause it
just
hit her
me
in the head.
wondering.
Blunt force trauma, ice power, blunt force trauma.
True, whilst flying in the air, running and jumping in the air and everything.
Yeah, I have to assume that if they had left it for longer, she would have started freezing just like she does later, because that's how she gets like that little frozen streak in her hair.
Yes. Okay. I'm trying to read. I wrote some questions down and I'm like, I don't do you so I know that there are like short videos in between this one and in Frozen 2 that like they change Olaf's perma something, or they give him like a permafrost or whatever they call it, where instead of having a cloud over him, it's just the magic within him. But like I doubt there is a video of this, but Elsa has to tell Anna everything, right? Like, she has to. About the
About like all the stuff.
childhood. Yeah.
I would think so.
And be
I'd
like,
think so.
dear sister, this is why I haven't talked to you in like a decade.
And Anna's like, cool. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Love
Is
you
this a
too,
good
Dad.
time to talk about Olaf?
Let's talk about Olaf. Yeah.
Okay. It's been a really long time since I watched this movie.
Right.
And in the interim, over the past couple years, I have sort of come to the revelation that I have autism and probably have been autistic this entire time and just had no idea, which I think is really not popular, but really common in girls. I think too that like autism in young girls is like not really noticed or paid attention to. And so anyway, that's something that I've sort of like learned a lot about. And I do a lot of research. You know, I've listened because I don't really have time to like read, but I listen to a lot of audiobooks. And so the past like two audiobooks I've listened to, one of them was like a nonfiction about autism, and another one was like a fiction about an autistic like child character. But anyway, I care a lot about it, and it's very interesting to me. And rewatching it over the weekend, I was just like, Olaf autism coded? Like,
Oh.
he literally is saying things as they are. Like, after recently listening to a book about like an autistic little girl, they like I literally was like, that's the exact same character. That's just like Olaf is just that 10-year-old girl from the book that I was reading.
He has an aside in this movie that is a joke, definitely for the parents. I forget exactly what he says, but it's dark humor.
Yeah.
And like, oh,
Is it the impaled line?
maybe
Yeah, I don't
I
know.
can't remember,
Anyway,
but
yeah, go on.
there's a but like Olaf in this movie is, I mean, so Josh Gad played Elder Cunningham, no,
In the Book of Mormon.
yes, in the Book of Mormon, who is of a similar character, I will say, where
Yeah,
he's
that's
kind
maybe
of
a
the
Josh
in
Gad thing.
yeah,
Yeah,
but
typecast.
he's kind of annoying. He's the comic relief in a way. I think with Olaf, they were trying to have the an actual talking animal best friend, but like obviously Kristoff has Sven, where Kristoff does the pet owner
Voice.
thing
Yeah.
of
Realism.
projecting.
Realism.
Yes, but then we have Olaf, who is the talking animal best friend that's in typical Disney movies, I will say, or animated movies. And he's not doing a lot in this. Like, his presence is great, and there's funny, and you know, he's the joke sometimes, but like I can see what you're saying about how he's autistic coded
I
in
think
a way.
also like the fact, first of all, that I had just read these two books about this, but also that like, you know, he shows up, he takes things super, super literally. So like when she's just like, he immediately just takes on the fact that both of them are named Sven. He's like, all
Yes.
right, like, and doesn't change it. And then like when they get there, I think she's like, you wait here. And then he's like, Kate, you wait here, Sven, we're going in, right? Like he really is just like, you know, he's telling it like it is. He's taking things super, super literally. I don't know. He felt very relatable to me this time.
But then later, when Anna is freezing to death, it doesn't feel, I don't know how I want to word it, or as somebody who is not diagnosed with autism, I don't want to overstep my boundaries by saying this, but it feels like he's genuinely just trying to help her. And
Absolutely.
even though she's like, don't go by the fire, you're gonna melt, he's like, but I care more about you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it
Iconic. Iconic.
right. And you know, that's the beauty of Olaf, I will say, is that, and I'm tearing up a little bit even thinking about it, is that he's just so pure of heart. And like, yes, he might be, but also I think it's just that he has that I'm new to the world mentality.
Exactly. And
So
I'm not even necessarily saying that they like did that on purpose to make him autism coded. I'm just saying that it definitely reads that way upon rewatch of
of course,
29-year-old
yes.
me.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think the initial intent with him was like, he just sees joy.
Childlike.
He's childlike. He's
Yeah,
a day
exactly.
old in this movie.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Because this movie is a day,
Which
right?
is sort of like, yeah, basically, which is sort of like a stereotypical way that people portray autism as well, even. And like I said, I'm not saying that they were trying to do that or anything. I'm just saying that like that's definitely like how it feels, but it also feels good because then at the end he's not just like the silly character who's doing silly things. He's like has this really lovely, heartfelt moment, and sort of saves the day, right? So it's like, yeah, it's I liked it a lot.
Yeah, he's and like obviously Disney's all about toys and the
Right.
products and you know selling things, and they're kind of like the opposite of like toy companies where they make the product and now they're like, great, let's put him on everything and we're gonna sell it. Whereas, you know, I don't know if you've seen the show The Toys That Made Us, like they talk about how they create this toy and then now they have to build the lore. They have to like go backwards and create like the show or the movies or something so that kids can buy it. So I feel like, you know, I don't know if they sell a lot of Svens, but that's got to be a more expensive thing to create than Olaf.
It's so interesting too, because when you like look at it, like Sven, and then you have Olaf, which is like the talking one, right?
Yeah.
But then you look at like with Moana, they've got all this stuff with Heihei, but everyone wants to buy Pua, who like never pulls up hardly in the whole movie, you know?
Right.
But it's like Pua's cuter, so everyone wants Pua. I don't know, it's
And
just interesting what sells. And it's like also they like advertised Pua being hard in the movie, and then he was
it
not, but
wasn't, yeah,
yeah.
no. And then, but like with this one, I like that they had Olaf in the backstory and the prologue, and you know his first lines are what Elsa said in the
Yeah,
past,
right.
like this is Olaf,
I like warm hugs.
I like warm hugs. It's kind of like, did you ever see the Rankin and Bass Frosty the Snowman animated movie?
I probably did.
Where whenever he comes to life, he just says, "Happy birthday." It's a similar thing, you know, and I think I feel like they may have pulled influence from that for Olaf, you know, to give him like a catchphrase in a way.
Yeah, it's kind of, and like you were talking about with toys, it's very reminiscent of like a pull string on a toy, like in
Right.
Toy Story.
I'm Olaf and I like warm hugs. I'm all like, you know, that's what you say. And I feel like we'd be remiss if we don't talk about Kristoff a little bit more before we get into Sharp and Flat and everything. So Jonathan Groff, legend, Broadway
Absolutely.
royalty. I really like Kristoff as a character because Kristoff isn't trying to save the day.
Yeah, you're definitely rooting for him versus Anna, and even or like him with Anna. Even when you're like you don't know that Hans is a bad guy, you're like clearly this guy is more like is better for you than this guy that you just met, you know? So like
Well,
you're still rooting for it.
but like also not in a romantic sense, but like when he brings Anna to the castle when she's freezing to death, he's like, my job is done. He's not overstepping
Oh yeah.
boundaries.
No, yeah,
He
that's a good
is
point.
like if Anna is like learning how to not be a Disney princess, he is like not a Disney prince. He's not trying to, you know, kiss her. He's not trying to romance her. He's on, like, honestly, it's just she's like, you're a means for me. And now you're on this journey and you're invested and everything. So now we're becoming close and everything. But from the, and what I like about this movie, and I forgot this detail, is that he is so interwoven with these two women through even from a kid.
From childhood, yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate him as a character, and like, you know, I'm looking forward to Frozen to talk about Frozen 2. But yeah, I agree with you that they gave Jonathan Groff the shaft in this one, where they're like, you get a hum a
The heck?
ding.
Yeah, are you for real? That's Jonathan Groff. What are you doing?
Right.
Hans
And
got to sing more than him, please.
Yes. And then Josh Gad got In Summer, which is a fun song. And then, he doesn't know. Which, so my, I, it's always fascinating whenever there's a property like this that obviously we're now looking back over a decade and we know how popular things have come. But I'm always wondering if, like, the Lopez's knew. When they finished writing Let It Go, they put their pen down and went, this is going to be a
This is gonna be
banger.
her. This is gonna be the
This is going to
girl.
be, this is the moment. This is it.
Yeah,
I
I
wonder if they
wonder.
knew that or if they were hoping it would be, like For the First Time in Forever or some other song,
Yeah.
I want,
I don't
it's just me
know.
wondering,
Yeah.
I next time I get some songwriters on here, I'll be like, so tell me if you
Tell
know.
me.
Tell me if you know what is a
Yeah. Can
banger.
you tell that it's a banger when you write it?
Right.
Yeah.
Is there anything else though you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
I like that we got to talk about Olaf. I mostly wanted to talk about Olaf. So I'm good to go whenever you're ready.
Great. Let's do it.
Woo!
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I want to start with flats because I
Okay.
love ending on a high note. And I don't really have that many flats for this because it's so good. And I'm 36 and saying this. Like,
Yeah.
I know I'm not by any means the target audience for this movie,
Yeah.
but like they're as a Disney lover, Disney movie lover, excuse me, let me be more specific because there are different type of Disney lovers.
Sure.
I really did like this movie. And like, I know we've been saturated with Anna and Elsa and Frozen and everything else since this came out, but it holds up. Like,
It does.
and there's a reason why. However, comma, my flats are first and foremost for the King of Arendelle, as we've talked about,
Yeah. I have notes.
being a homophobic douchebag that he is. And then my second and last flat is for the heteronormative thinking that true love is supposed to be between a man and a woman.
Yeah, that
Which
actually kind of works with my sharp, so I'll get there.
I get that that's the point of this movie, but also everyone needs to listen to this and retroactively forget everything about old Disney movies where, true love can be a best friend, it could be your sister, it could be a parent, it could be anything,
Yeah.
really. It doesn't have to be your partner, a heterosexual partnering.
Yeah.
Did you have any flats for this?
Okay, so my flat we just talked about, which was that we needed a Kristoff song. We needed Kristoff to sing a
Yes.
little bit more. Which we just talked about, so I don't feel the need to go too far into. And then my other one was, yeah, you said that we were like really oversaturated at the time. I would say that like you know, it holds up when you watch it again, but like sometimes Let It Go plays and I'm just like, all right,
Just
this one
shaking a
again.
little bit.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, I've heard this one I don't even know how many times in my life now. But like when you watch the movie, you're just like, I mean, it's a great movie. I get why everybody loves it so much. But
Right.
it really was punched in our face a lot for many, many years, you know? So that was really
Yeah.
it. But like that's not to the detriment or at fault to the movie or anything. It's a good movie, so.
Yes. Okay. Sharps. So, in that respect, I sharped the Lopez's for writing fire music and dueling melodies.
Yeah, I hear that.
That's what I wrote down. 'Cause like, they wrote, I mean, I know I'll ask later about Life's Playlist and everything, but like, there is no dud. I mean, I guess maybe
No.
Reindeers Are People because it's not a full blown song, but like, I'll give it a pass
Yeah.
because it's supposed to be a hummy
Can I
thing.
say something controversial, yet brave?
Okay, I'll
It's
hold your hand through Zoom.
Yes, please hold my hand now. It's not about this movie. It's about Moana,
Oh,
which
okay.
also has a lot of really good music, and I love Lin-Manuel Miranda. But I'd rather die than listen to Shiny. I hate it.
Oh, We may have to have some words after this.
That's totally okay. That's why I needed to say something controversial yet brave. I hate that song. But let's
Okay.
keep talking
Let's keep
about
talking about
Frozen.
Frozen. Speaking of, I did sharp let it go. I know it ha we had to, one of us had to do
Yeah, okay.
it.
So, yeah, for mine, yeah, go
Oh,
on.
I still have like three more.
Sure.
Sorry. I am also sharping Oaken, the
Oh, iconic.
love
Yoo-hoo.
you like love.
Iconic.
We love an icon queen. I'm also sharping the detailed animation. So like a lot of the wigs I see for people who dress up as Elsa when in the costume change that I have a million questions about, but I'm not gonna ask them because this is an animated movie and I know my place by now. They don't have the snowflakes in her hair that she has, and I noticed that this watch. I don't know if you paid it, if you saw that, but there's a few little snowflakes in her braid. And I was like, that's a very fascinating detail that I don't think a lot of people picked up on. And now for those who are listening who are going to do an Elsa number in the future, add snowflakes to your wigs, please and thank you.
And like a good detail that there is pretty easy to implement.
Right. And but like also the fact that they're like we could talk about the snow and the details in
Oh yeah,
her
I remember,
blue
because like the
dress.
snow, like the animation, what's it called? Like the software or whatever that they created for Frozen was also like revolutionary for animation as well. Just in the same
Yes.
way that the hair animation that they made for Tangled has changed animation.
And then like the water for Moana to bring it back to
Exactly.
Moana
Yeah.
even I and my last sharp is for Marshmallow's post-credit scene. Marshmallow the giant abominable snowman type
Yeah.
character that they created. I don't think I've ever seen that, you know. And I was watching it and then I was like scrolling through the Disney Plus bar and I was like, "Oh, there's a scene afterwards?" And he puts on the crown and feels beautiful, and I'm like, yes,
Yes,
queen.
queen. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what about you? What are your sharps?
Okay, my sharps, the portrayal of Olaf, which we talked about already. The fact that, and this sort of goes with one of your flats, the fact that the true love was between two sisters and not between romantic partners was really special. And then if I could sharp like my favorite song, I guess, I in a different way than like I'll listen to Let It Go and sometimes I'm just like, all right, I've heard this one a lot. I will never n feel that way about Love Is an Open Door. I just think it's such a bop. I love it. But my favorite is probably the reprise of For the First Time in Forever. Like those dueling melodies of like that's the one that
Yes.
I would always sing with my sister. She'd be Anna, I'd be Elsa, and we would kill it, you know? So like I think like definitely those songs in particular.
I do want to say, apparently, there was a couple of lawsuits with this movie. I was reading about that on the Wikipedia page. One was Disney sued another movie for using the name Frozen in similar font. For it was a Canadian film. I'm not finding it right now, but I'm just gonna use my memory. It was a
You can't
Canadian
blame all
film.
Canadians for the mistake of one Canadian,
Well, it's
okay?
not that. It's just that when for whatever reason they changed the name of this one movie when it was coming to in the United States. And it was fr they changed it from like John's Frozen Adventure. I don't know the actual name. I'm just
Just
using
to
that
just
just to
Frozen.
Frozen and used a similar font. So there was a
That
whole
makes
controversy
sense.
about
That makes
that.
sense why they would sue them. But as a Canadian, I cannot speak to this because I don't know them.
But also, there was a Chilean singer named Jaime Ciro. I believe I'm pronouncing this person's last name correctly. Who sued Demi Lovato, Idina Menzel, and Walt Disney Animation Studios
Good luck with that.
and others involved with the song Let It Go for infringing on his 2008 song Volar. In 2018, the Lopezes were released from this lawsuit. And in 2019, it was eventually dropped. But I just
If
found
I
it
was Demi
interesting.
Lovato, I'd be like, what do I have to do with this? They just asked me to sing the song.
Well, they're going for everyone. And welcome
Yeah.
to lawsuits.
Yeah, right. So glad I don't have to deal with any lawsuits.
And speaking of songs, would you add any to your life's playlist?
This is interesting when I saw this on the doc here, because I like, what do you define as the life's playlist? Like, I want to hear a little bit more from you about that.
So the way I always answer it, and you, the listener, I'm sorry for you listening to this for the 394th time, probably. But I like to answer this question as if, you put it on a playlist when you're not watching the movie. So like you're running errands, you're on a road trip, you're going on a jog. What do you want to, what out of the songs here, what do you want to listen to? Without any sort of, so because like there's some movies I've done where the visual really does inform the song, so you listening to it separately. But like this one, all bops. I will
Yeah.
say I think I'll listen to all of them.
Sure.
I initially didn't write them down. You know what? Scratch that. I'm gonna skip Fixer Upper. I don't care
I
about
hear
that
you
one.
on that one. I think that that one plus maybe Reindeers Are Better Than People are like the two, like lowest
But if we're
tier.
gonna get Jonathan Groff singing something, I'd rather
We'll
that
take
than
it.
not having
Then
him
nothing.
on there. Yeah. And it's not
Yeah.
that bad. And if I remember correct,
It's
no, they
just
didn't.
short.
It's just short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like no big like notes. That's why they fix it in Frozen 2. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah. But I think Fixer Upper is the one that I will skip.
Yeah.
Because I
I'm
don't
like,
care.
who is from Broadway who sings this? I
It's
don't
an
want.
I understand the song. It's weird,
Yeah.
but I understand it, and everyone is
They're literally
talented.
like throwing her around and they're like, be in love, get married. And she's like, I'm actively dying right now.
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah, and they're being the embarrassing family for him,
Yeah,
like the
that's funny.
embarrassing pushy mom.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry, did you actually say?
Yeah, I would say that, like, to your definition, probably like Love is an Open Door is like one of my favorite ones. Do you mind if I interpret it in a different way?
Go ahead.
I have a playlist that I call Autobiography. I like to make character playlists for like certain like D&D characters or like other characters that I like from different media or whatever. And so I'm like, if I was a character, what would I put on my character playlist? And I call that playlist Autobiography. And so I think that if I were to put any of these on my life's playlist in a way that it's like a playlist that's about me, I would probably do For the First Time in Forever.
The first one or
The
the
first
reprise
one.
or
No,
both?
the first one.
Okay.
Because I think it's very like, I don't know. I feel like I haven't done like a lot in life. Like I feel like there are a lot of experiences that I like haven't done yet, and I also feel like I'm a hopeless romantic that's always like sort of searching for that too. And so I think that if I were to put any of the songs from this movie on the playlist that's about me, it would probably be about that. It would probably be For the First Time in Forever.
Oh, I love that. I love
Yeah.
that answer.
Thanks.
And on that note, Robin, we're done with the episode. We did Frozen,
Oh, we did
finally.
it.
I'm surprised it took me 394 episodes to finally do this one movie.
Yeah, no kidding.
But what you already did it at the top of the episode, but
Yeah.
now is the time. What do you have to plug or promote?
So, hi, I'm Robin, and I'm from the Aficionados Podcast Network. We have officially been making podcasts for 8 years this year, which is really crazy. Thank
Congratulations.
you. So we have covered shows like The 100, Riverdale, Lost, and Stranger Things in particular. So if you guys are looking for podcasts about those things, if you like TV critique from queer women, that's us. So you can search Aficionados, which
And
is
sometimes
spelled,
John.
and sometimes John. You can find it. It's search, or basically, it's spelled aficionados, but with a T in it, so it makes the word fiction in it. And if you search that on any of your favorite podcatching apps or wherever your favorite podcatcher is, you should be able to find us. And yeah, you can also follow us at the aficionados all over the place. And if you want to follow me personally, I'm at Robin E. Jeffrey pretty much everywhere. RobynEJefferey. Yeah, I want to be your friend. Yeah.
Well, now we are friends. I
We
mean, we were
are.
friends already after episode 300 when we did the music of Riverdale, turned
Actively.
into a fun game. But now that you have done your own episode, welcome to the family.
Oh, I feel special.
I know Blanche has been on a lot already.
I love that for her. She's like, you should come on. And I'm just like, eventually I will. And now I've done it.
And now we did it. And now we're gonna do more.
We will do more. I just gotta figure out what you haven't done yet.
And if you want to talk more about Frozen, or if you want to talk more about Frozen, the stage version, because I'm sorry to be a little light on that one. I haven't witnessed it. I haven't seen it, so I don't really know that much. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. So, you, the listener, what song would you put on your life's playlist? I don't think I've ever asked the listeners that question. So now I'm asking it because we all know Let It Go. Let It Go is on everyone's playlist. Let's be real here. No matter if we want it or not. But what would you add? I'd like to hear about it. And speaking of, if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we will be discussing Frozen 2. Yes, we are doing the sequel. Unfortunately, it's not with Robin, but.
But, however, it is with one of my best friends. She is the co-host with me on one of the Aficionados podcasts. And when John asked me if I wanted to do Frozen or Frozen 2, I said, I'll do Frozen, but I know the biggest Frozen 2 fan.
Yes. But Robin, thank you so much for your inaugural solo episode.
Thank you for having me.
We will have you again as many
Yeah.
times as you want.
You got it.
And everyone, thank you for listening and happy holiday season and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.